Please turn with me to Psalm chapter 8. When Pastor asked me would I like to minister, I said I'd be blessed to minister. And when I said that, the word we're going to read tonight jumped into my mind. And so I sat down with it, went through it several times. And there are some things that the Lord, it's almost like they just jumped off the page at me. And it was a prophecy that was delivered last Sunday night. And the title of the message tonight is the same as the title of the prophecy, which is Don't Muffle Your Worship. Okay? So we're going to begin with Psalm 8, and then we're going to read Matthew 21, verses 14 through 16, two very familiar verses. Psalm 8, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Matthew chapter 21, verses 14 through 16. And the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple, and he, Jesus, healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise? I don't know how many of you remember that prophecy. So I made some copies, and I am asking Stephen to hand them out because I'd like for you to have it as we go through it. And it's not going to be long, because the purpose that the Lord has for this particular service is we're going to do some worship tonight. And when we go through the prophecy, when we go through that word, it's a word that was a strong word. It was a word that God was not entirely happy with us. It's probably a good way to say it. But he also, at the end, was very, very encouraging. And so, as I read through the prophecy, several things jumped out. The first thing, because when I tell you the first thing that jumps out at me, you're going to see how personal this is for God, because it has to do with our relationship with him. 28 times, he uses the word you, your, Y-O-U-R-E, or you've, Y-O-U-V-E, you have. 28 times in roughly three paragraphs. So for God, this is a very personal word that he has given to us. And he wants us to take it the same way. So let's begin. And it says, don't you know that I put praise and worship in your heart and mouth? Don't you know it? When I read that, the thing that the Lord brought to mind was a phrase that he uses several times in 1 Corinthians. And it's the word, know ye not. Because it's the same thing. Know ye not, the way it's written means you should know this. And so God is saying, don't you know, as if you should know this. What I'm about to share with you is not anything you already don't know. Okay, so, when I thought about know ye not, when you think about where the phrase is, in what book it's in, it's a book in which God is correcting a lot of stuff. Wrong doctrine, and he's also correcting wrong lifestyle choices. And you don't need any more than 1 Corinthians chapter 6 to see that. Okay? So he says, don't you know that I put praise and worship in your heart and mouth? Don't you know it? But when you muffle the praise, when you muffle the worship, who's going to praise for you? And as I was reading this, the word muffled just kind of, it jumped out at me, because when I just looked it up in Webster, it means to keep down, suppress. In other words, when you muffle something, it's something that you are doing on purpose. You don't accidentally muffle something. You are doing it on purpose. And God is saying that when we purposefully muffle our praise and our worship, who's going to praise for us? When we choose to do what he has put, when we choose not to do what he has put in our hearts and in our mouths, who's going to do it for us? Who's going to worship me in your stead? I said, wow. Who is going to worship me in your stead? What is the issue that the Lord is addressing here, ladies and gentlemen? It's pride. It's subtle, but it's still there. It's pride. What he's saying is, says, since you are not going to obey me, who do you have that will obey me in your place? Ouch. Ouch. That's why I said that by the choice of words our Father used in this prophecy, the you and the you have and the you are and the your, it's very personal for him, because he's dealing with relationship with us. He's dealing with relationship with us. Let's continue. I've given each one of you the ability to worship and to praise by you refusing to open your mouth. And I'm going to stop there for a moment. I looked at that word refusing because, again, it's the word that jumped out at me. To show or express unwillingness to do or comply with something. To show or express unwillingness to do or comply with something. So God says, by you refusing, he says, because you are demonstrating and expressing for all to see your unwillingness to yield to my instruction to open your mouth. Do you see how looking at what that word refusing encompasses, how it gives you another way of looking at what God is saying? And he says, again, by you refusing to open your mouth, refusing to set your heart upon me, I'm going to stop there, because that word refusing is there again, because you are demonstrating and expressing for all to see your unwillingness to yield to my instruction to set your heart upon me. Do you see that, ladies and gentlemen? We don't realize that's what we're doing, do we? We think everything is we're okay with God. But he's letting us know about, because we are refusing to follow his instruction, we are refusing to yield to set our hearts upon him, and you're saying it doesn't matter. Setting your heart upon him, it doesn't matter. And in the overall of this word so far, what doesn't matter is being obedient to his instruction to praise and worship. I'm going to pick it up with that last one again. Refusing to set your heart upon me, you're saying it doesn't matter. Somebody else can do it without me. Again, subtle pride. The Lord says tonight, I don't want your excuses. I don't want your excuses. I don't want your excuses when I have given you everything you need to worship me. Do you see how it's almost like God's heart is aching as much because of our disobedience and not coming to him in praise and worship. I am not looking for a pretty voice. That's an excuse. I am not looking for doubt. That's an excuse. I'm looking for your heart in your decision to override fear and being uncomfortable to sing my praise. The word override, it means to trample, to dominate. God says, I'm looking for your heart in your decision to trample and dominate fear and being uncomfortable with singing my praises. You see, because there is a level of intimacy and relationship that happens only in this place of worship and praise. Follow me. He says there is something, a level of intimacy and relationship that only happens in this place. The place of praise and worship, which means you're not automatically in it. You're going to have to go to that place. You have to make a purposeful decision to go to that place. And that is what he's encouraging, what's what he's talking about. We have to make a decision that we are going to follow his instructions to praise and worship. And we're going to do it by taking that step to walk into it and do it. You know, I thought it was interesting that he looked at praise and worship as a destination, as a place he wants us to go. And for some in this room, it's one of their favorite destination spots. One of my favorite destination spots. Okay, so he's saying, only in this place of praise and or worship and praise. Let me go back. You see, because there is a level of intimacy and relationship that happens only in this place of praise, of worship and praise, that you will not get any other way. So, my people, when it's time to sing, sing. When it's time to praise, praise. When it's time to worship, worship. What have we just read? Instruction, ladies and gentlemen. He's instructing us. When it's time to sing, we sing. When it's time to worship, we worship. When it's time to praise, we praise. It's an instruction and a command at the same time. He's not giving us an option. Not if we want that level of intimacy and relationship that he desires for us. For I have given you that ability. God has given us that ability, ladies and gentlemen, to enter into praise and worship. And I am done with excuses. You say, God, this is too hard. It's too much. But he says, I'm with you. I've never asked you to do something you couldn't do. But I will never override. I will never trample. I will never dominate your will. So when you come to this place, this destination, in this case of corporate worship, it's like practice so you can go home and do it. Before I started working my way through this prophecy, the Lord said to me, the voice of the enemy is still too loud. The voice of the enemy is still too loud. And it's when I got to this last phrase, it's like practice so you can go home and do it. It's when he really zeroed in on what he said to me about the voice of the enemy is too loud. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, coming here and worshiping in a corporate setting is not enough to drown out the enemy's voice. It is not enough. You have to do it at home. You have to do it at home. And I think this next part is going to bless you of what he shared with me and what I saw. He said, the voice of the enemy is still too loud. Psalm 8, verse 2 says that strength will still the enemy and the avenger. Matthew 21 replaces the word strength with praise. So praise will still the enemy and the avenger. Now, this is what was really neat for me. The word still is a verb meaning to repose, to rest, to rid of, to steal, to put away, to leave. Most often, the word expresses the idea of resting. It expresses the idea of resting. For some of us, and maybe for many of us, the enemy's voice remains too loud in our lives. He's crippling far too many of us in the church with thoughts and imaginations that hinder our victories and neutralize a true understanding and acceptance of who we are as sons and daughters of the Most High. When we decide to obey our Father, when we decide to praise and worship Him, we will get supernatural rest. I don't know if anyone else needs some supernatural rest from time to time, but Brother Barry does. We will get supernatural rest from the enemy's mind-numbing attacks. So then back to the prophecy. So don't let these moments pass you by, because in this river of my worship and my fellowship and my intimacy is everything you've been looking for. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to spend the remaining of the service in worship. I have asked Sister Jamie just to, however the Lord leads, we will follow. And I want to encourage you, don't just sit, get up, come up front, enjoy the presence and the intimacy with your Father. Enjoy the praise and worship. That's what He desires. Amen?